This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Have you ever considered running for office only to think, somebody else is more qualified, or, oh, there are so many steps, I don't know how to do it? But maybe after the last election, or the election before that, or maybe the events that took place on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol building, maybe you're feeling more motivated to be more involved in government, be it the federal level, at the state level, or at the local level. Although the window for running for local office in this year's municipal elections in some cities in Illinois, it's not universal, that window has closed, you do have plenty of time to prepare for running next year if you start now. Joining us to talk about this is Eva Pusateri, who's the president of the Lincoln Series. It's an organization that provides leadership and campaign training to women in the Republican Party on running for office. Eva, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for putting this program together.
Also with us is Matt Dietrich, who is the spokesman for the Illinois State Board of Elections. Matt, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Brian.
And finally with us today is a recent alum of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Andy Ma is running for the first time for the office of mayor of Urbana. Andy, thank you for coming on as well.
Thank you, and hello, everybody.
Hello, Andy. And we want to say that, you know, Andy does have other people running in the race with him. This is not a policy discussion. This is not evaluating the merits of the candidates running for office. This is just about sort of the mechanics and what it is like being a first-time candidate. Andy's opponents have experience with government and run for office before, so that's why we're doing this. Listeners, we want to know if the election of last year, the events on January 6th, maybe some other inciting event made you think about running for office. What position have you thought of running for? You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We know this is on the minds of some of you. We got texts on this from our Text the 21st group. We'll read some of those later in the program. But if you want to join the conversation now, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. So before we get into what someone needs to do legally to run for local office, I want to ask Eva, who has experience providing leadership and campaign training to people running for office, what are some of the questions someone should ask themselves when considering a run?
Thank you, Brian, for that question, because that's a very good question. Fundamentally, they really have to start with, why are they running? For two reasons. One, because it has to be more than just they want to make the world a better place. They have to have some specific reason that relates to voters' concerns. And secondly, because they have to be able to communicate that, whether it's being in an effort to ask for votes or to ask for fundraising money, you really and truly as a candidate have to be able to communicate what is motivating you, what you're passionate about, what you're trying to implement and as change of why you are needed and why we should get motivated to vote for you. So that's really the first thing that they have to start with. And then the second and third and fourth and fifth and 20 more questions all evolve around getting to know the area in which they're running. They need to do an assessment and really ask some questions, you know, politically about the environment, what's going on that's happening that could impact their race. And they also want to ask questions demographically about their district. Easiest place is to look at census data. But again, you know, that now we know that's about 10 years old. We just did the new census last year, but that gives you a good start to understanding how your community or communities are broken up demographically and how you connect to those demographics. And then also looking at it electorally, looking at the numbers. You look at the districts and the numbers will tell you if it's a Democrat-leaning district, Republican-leaning district, or it's a swing district, or if it's solidly one or the other. And so those are some of the hard questions you really need to look at as you start to formulate why you're running and how you are going to run your campaign.
Those are great, great points to think about. So, Andy, I wonder, as you were making the decision to run for Urbana mayor, did you ask yourself some of those questions? What did you have in mind? What were some of the considerations you had?
Definitely. I definitely thought about how I could make this community better. And as mayor, how much I could do to help make, you know, Urbana a better city. And when I started like preparing to run for mayor, I checked the election data and saw that this race was definitely winnable, because only in the 2017 mayoral election, only around 4,000 people participated in that election, and the winning person who won only got around 2,000 votes. So I definitely thought that the mayor election was winnable.
Okay, so let's get into some of the mechanics now. Matt Dietrich with the State Board of Elections. Are there minimum qualifications that a person needs to have to be able to run for office? President, you have to be 35 and a U.S. citizen. What are some of the other qualifications that might be out there for different offices?
Well, for the most part, you have to be a resident of the district you're running in. For most offices, not all, but for most of them, there are residency requirements. You would need to be a registered voter. There are some disqualifying things. If you are a sex offender, registered sex offenders for some offices are disqualified. Again, not for all. But mostly, you need to be a registered voter in the district you're running in most cases. The age qualifications come into play only for offices. Well, president is basically the only one that I can think of. And perhaps U.S. Senate, there may be an age requirement.
Yeah, I think it's 30 for U.S. Senate and 25 for Congress, for House, the mm-hmm. House. Yeah.
But for the offices that we're talking about, the ones that a first-time candidate is most likely to be running for, there aren't a whole lot of restrictions. And like I said, you want to make sure that you understand the residency requirement of whatever office it is you're running for, whether it's a seat on your local library board, on the school board, or in the Illinois State Legislature. Know what the residency requirements are, know what the signature requirements are when you pass your nominating petitions. You'll want to, of course, know what the petition passing period is. And in 2021 for the 2022 primary, that starts on August 31st for major party candidates, for established party candidates. All of those things, we publish a candidate's guide for every election. And later this year, we'll be publishing the 2022 candidate's guide, which will pertain to candidates who are going to be running for those offices that'll be on the primary election coming up in March of 22. But that's a good document to go by if you're a first-time candidate.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we mentioned, the filing period and the objection period is already passed for the consolidated elections, which are coming up this spring. But the 2021 candidate's guide is a good thing to look over just to get an idea of how many offices are up for election in a consolidated election statewide. There are thousands of them. The State Board of Elections has a very minimal role in the consolidated elections. Only a handful of small offices file with us. The vast majority of the work in this is done by the county clerks and the local election authorities.
So, and people may not be familiar, you're using the term consolidated election, but that basically means like city elections for the most part, or
municipal elections. Yeah. Yeah. And yes, and smaller governmental units than that. That's where you get into, for example, your library boards, school district seats.
That is a great transition point. Watch this professional radio transition here. We happen to have a caller on the line, John in Elgin. I understand you are running for a library district seat. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, excellent transition there, Brian. I'm running for Gail Borden Public Library District Board up here in Elgin.
So what motivated you to decide to run for that office? You
fed
up with the number of Stephen King books on the display, or what?
No, actually, we have one of the greatest libraries in the world here, and it wasn't so much of me having an agenda, but I had been volunteering a lot with national, like the presidential primaries in 2016 and 2020, and it's kind of depressing and frustrating. And I really started to feel like, why am I driving to Iowa and Wisconsin when, like, I could be doing something to make an impact where I live? And that's when a library board vacancy opened up. And I've worked in libraries for almost a decade, and I just thought, like, this is maybe the only thing I'm qualified to run for here, and it's a passion of mine, so why not give it a try?
Okay. Well, thanks so much for calling in, John, and sharing your experience with being a candidate for library board. You know, let me reintroduce my guest. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about running for local office, what it takes to run for office. My guests are Andy Ma, who is a recent alum of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, who is running for Urbana mayor, a first-time candidate. Also Matt Dietrich, a spokesman for the State Board of Elections. And Eva Pusateri, who is president of the Lincoln Series, which is a group that helps educate women about the mechanics of campaigning, particularly in the Republican Party, running for office. And Eva, I wonder, do you get people who, you know, come to you and say, I want to be the next senator from Illinois or the next congresswoman from Illinois? And you say, well, let's maybe start with library board or county board or something like that. How do you guide people into sort of a manageable set of ambitions, or maybe I'm off base and you say, you know what, aim for the stars.
I'm going to go with aim for the stars. You know, when women come to us, we offer them training and education programs so that they can run the best campaign possible. And we educate them on both local, state, and the federal government levels. So we encourage them to run for whatever office that they're interested in. You know, the Lincoln Series offers programs around the state. So it's not just, you know, for local office, but we do encourage a lot of women to start at local office because that's what they feel comfortable with. The key here is really what issue are they passionate about and what are they trying to effectuate? And so we will support them and encourage them to run at that level if they want to run for the U.S. Senate. More importantly than which level is just, again, looking at the numbers and seeing if it's a race that can be won. And you don't always rule out races if the numbers aren't there, because there are always exceptions to the rule. But the point is that you have to figure out which campaign you're going to run and how hard your campaign is going to be based on those numbers. But if women or even men are interested in running for office, they should be supported and encouraged and offered programs such as ours, which offer the training and education so that they can succeed.
Listeners, if you want to be encouraged to run for office, or if you have been encouraged to run for office in the past, we want to hear about it. At 800-222-9455 is the number to call, 800-222-9455. Eva, I want to stick with you for a minute. We heard Matt Dietrich from the State Board of Elections listing all these requirements, the petition. You know, you can't just pass petitions. You have to do it within a certain time frame. You have to have X number of signatures. You can't file too many signatures. You only can file so many. Do you find people are daunted by some of the minutiae of the requirements that are out there? Or, you know, or is it that once they commit to this, you know, they're on board with it? How do you navigate that with your trainees?
Once they commit to it, they are very good about just doing what they need to do. Matt and the Board of Elections has made the process very seamless from the knowledge standpoint. They've explained it very simply, so it is less daunting than it may sound like. But what I would encourage anybody who's listening and is going to go get those signatures to always get more than is minimally required. One of the things that's very popular here in Illinois, more than other states, but one of the things we do here in Illinois is people on the opposing party will look at your signatures to try and get you off the ballot based on bad or incorrect signatures. So say you have to get 1,000 signatures, I'd say get a little bit more, maybe 1,400 or 1,500 to make sure that your spot on the ballot is safe.
And Andy, I wonder, how did you encounter the rules and all the signature requirements? Did you find that tricky or challenging as you were deciding to make this run for mayor?
I was was really lucky because I had a mentor who was able to explain all the rules to me. So I was successfully able to smoothly collect all the signatures and do all the paperwork. But I did see the effects of what the establishment will use paperwork to like throw you off the ballot, because in, you know, even in our local election in the primaries, you know, the opposing candidates might indirectly use somebody to, you know, challenge your petitions or your paperwork. And I've seen that done in my city and, you know, Champaign too.
Yeah. And we got a follow up tweet from John, who I think we heard a few minutes ago on air, who said he did find the process confusing with all the deadlines and petitions and said it really helps to reach out to a more experienced candidate, many of whom are happy to pay it forward. He said, I wouldn't have made the ballot were it not for some very kind neighbors. We're going to continue this conversation. Listeners, we do want to hear from you. The number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have thought about running for office, or especially if you are running for office, new candidates, we want to hear from you. We have more to come in our conversation about this. We are speaking with Matt Dietrich, who is the public information officer at the Illinois State Board of Elections, Andy Ma, a first-time candidate for mayor of Urbana, and Eva Pusateri, who's president of the Lincoln Series. That's an organization that provides campaign training for women in the Republican Party on running for office. And again, we do want to take your calls. 800-222-9455 is the number. I should also add, we have a number of texts from our Text the 21st group. We're going to be reading those in after the break here. If you do want to join our texting group, you can do so by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We usually only send one, maybe two texts a week. Let's stay in touch. More to come after a short break. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about running for office, people who might have considered running for office for the first time. What does it take to make a run for political office? This is not a policy-oriented discussion. This is about just the mechanics of campaigning, what you need to keep in mind as you are running. We're joined by Matt Dietrich, who's a spokesman at the Illinois State Board of Elections, Eva Pusateri, who's the president of the Lincoln Series. That's an organization that provides campaign training to Republican women interested in running for office, and Andy Ma, who's a first-time candidate, recent U of I alum, running for the mayorship of Urbana. Our number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And I'm going to go right to the phones now. John is on the line from Urbana. John, thanks for calling in. Hello, John. Line one, are you there? Okay, maybe
John
we...
or Don?
John. John, that's you. Thanks for calling in. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, it's actually Don.
About that, Don.
That's okay. Hi, Brian. Thank you for the show. It's a very interesting topic. My question, and it really can go to any of the panelists. I appreciate their time and insight. Locally here in Champaign-Urbana, I noticed that this round of municipal elections, there seemed to be a higher number than average challenges to candidates filing and challenges to petitions that were very public, and I think sometimes might turn people off. I was just wondering, what resources do people have at their disposal to reduce the chance of getting challenged as a filer? And if any of the candidates had any insight as to whether or not, in general, this year there were more challenges? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, thank you, Don. Thank you for that. Eva, let me start with you. What advice do you have to people for sort of preparing or fending off challenges?
I would recommend in advance looking to retain the services of election lawyers. There are specialists who focus simply on election law, including how to get on the ballot, as well as election day integrity and vote integrity and the like. So obviously that doesn't help for those after the fact, but in advance, it would be very helpful to, you know, retain the services so that they can walk you through exactly what they need to do. And then the key is really trying, is like I said earlier, getting the extra signatures, because as good as people are about knowing where they are registered and where they're allowed to sign whose petition, sometimes mistakes do happen. So some of these are honest mistakes that just you need to kind of be prepared for and get those extra signatures. But as mentioned earlier, also Annie mentioned, you know, looking to somebody who's already gone through this process and maybe and asking for their help as well too.
Andy, have you seen a lot of, and forgive me, I don't know where exactly in the process the Urbana mayor's race is, but have you seen challenges to signatures this year?
Yeah, definitely. I personally know people who was challenged, like Megan McDonald, who was running for city council, was unsuccessfully challenged, and Verdell Jones, who also wanted to run for mayor, was successfully thrown out the ballot. So I definitely think it's important to collect almost twice the amount of the signatures that are required to for the petitions. And also definitely it would be a really great resource to have somebody who's gone through this process or knows the process to go over all your paperwork and signatures to check to make sure that there's no way that it can be challenged, no, you know, obvious way.
Sure, sure. Okay, let's go to the phones again. Karen is on line two from Normal. Karen, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you. I was just sharing that I decided to run after the 2016 elections, and at the town council level, someone had retired, so I felt like, okay, there's an opening. This to me is an indication there is room for me. But my primary motivation for running was to make sure my daughter, who's special needs, has a secure future here in town. I think it was Elizabeth Dole who commented that the local level is going to have more of an impact on day-to-day life than what happens in D.C. And I had a background in marketing, so one of the ways that I got signatures, besides going door to door, was I rented for $60 a booth at a high school craft fair. And there's only Bloomington and Normal voters predominantly. So I would have the question as people came up, are you registered to vote in Bloomington or Normal? And if they said Normal, I went into my elevator speech and asked them to please give me a chance to be on the ballot. And a majority of them were like, well, I'll give you a chance. And then following up on that, I hand wrote thank you cards to about 400 people that signed the ballot petition, and just to acknowledge that I appreciated the opportunity they were giving me. But also here in Normal, Facebook has targeted ads for $30 for a single zip code, and Normal has a single zip code. And I started pushing out Facebook ads about 4 weeks before the election, and increasing how many I was doing each week, because for marketing, the expression is it's not the quality of touches, it's the number of touches. And partnered with somebody else running, and I have to thank him, because I think it was as on his endorsement that people took a chance on me. So it was successful, just despite my being a complete amateur.
Well, handwritten notes and Facebook ads, that's good advice. And I take it you did win the election.
Yes. Edged out one person who had been on the council, and again, I said people took a chance on me, and I do have to thank the person who partnered with me, because we agreed during the campaign on a number of concepts, And he had a much larger base than I did. And I just hope I'm satisfying people with what I'm doing now that I'm in office.
Sure. All right, Karen, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story. We appreciate
sure.
it. Matt, I want to shift topics a little bit now and bring you back into the conversation because, okay, even setting aside the petitions and everything else, another big element of running for office, you got to pay for those Facebook ads. You got to pay for the stationery that that she used to write people. And if you're running for a bigger office, maybe you're going to be paying for television ads. So money is an important thing. And can you talk about the rules around raising money and how you start doing that legally if you're interested in running for office?
Yes. If in under the Illinois Election Code, if you raise or spend $5,000 or more in a 12-month period, you are required to form a political committee. So if you're a candidate running for school board and you held fundraisers, you don't have to have a committee until you hit that magic $5,000 mark. But then you're required to register a candidate political committee with us, and you're required to report your fundraising activities and your expenditures to us on a quarterly basis. So that is one thing to keep in mind. Now, an awful lot of smaller offices, those candidates never reach the $5,000 threshold. They may be entirely self-funding their own, a few hundred dollars here and there may be enough to cover it. But you'd be surprised at how quickly you can spend and or raise $5,000 toward seeking a political office. So just be aware that you'll have to register with us if you raise or spend $5,000 in a one-year period. Then you'll have to do quarterly reporting for as long as your committee is active.
Sure.
There are campaign contribution limits in Illinois, and they were just changed. They changed in January of every odd-numbered year. So the limit for an individual, a candidate political committee, can only accept $6,000 from an individual, $12,000 from a corporation, or $59,900 from another candidate political committee or another committee. So those are the numbers that you have to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And again, just to reiterate something that Eva said that is so important and is right at the top of our candidate's guide is get a lawyer, consult with an election lawyer. They can guide you through all of this stuff from your residency requirements, your signature requirements, the proper way to gather those signatures so that you avoid a challenge. Or you can withstand a challenge if someone decides to challenge your signatures. And mm-hmm. they'll also be able to help you out because they will have experience in getting you set up with your campaign committee. It's an easy process. We have staff that does it all the time. And we're always happy to work with people. But keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind. All right. I want to read a text from a listener now. Jim in Urbana said, quote, "I'm too old to run. However, I strongly encourage others to run. Years ago, the Koch brothers put up a ton of money into local elections from school boards on up. They understood starting at the bottom can change a community and state quicker than top down, though very expensive. I'd strongly encourage folks with an interest in income inequality, hunger and housing issues, etc. to run. It's a positive way to help one's community." Close quote. Eva, I wonder, do you find in your work that money in politics is a barrier to entry? Does it deter civic-minded people from running because maybe they don't like the idea of asking for money from all their friends and family and high school classmates and neighbors and everyone they've ever known?
That is a big yes. It's across the board that people are very concerned about asking others for money, and they do not feel confident going into it because they think they're asking for themselves. So one of the things that we educate them on through the training programs is that you're not asking for money for yourself. You're asking money to run for office so that you can provide them a service. More specifically, you can say you want money for an item. We recommend, say, "I need help raising, can you contribute $1,000, which I will use toward yard signs?" or can you contribute $2,500 so I can pay for a direct mail brochure? So showing them exactly what it's being used for as a part of your end goal, which is to provide a public service for them. So it is a thing that does hold people back from running for office, but there are wonderful training programs, including, if I can give a quick little plug for the Lincoln Series, we provide fundraising. You know, most campaign training programs do provide fundraising training for that specific reason, that it is very daunting. But once people start doing it and they get a handle on it and they start to learn how to do it, they can become very effective and actually end up raising more money than they thought they could.
Yeah. Okay. We are almost out of time here. I just want to squeeze in another text or two from some of our listeners. Wendy in Urbana said she's exploring running for a township position. Believe we need more political diversity in my township. Kyle in Champaign wrote in to say he's thinking about running for public office since 2016, motivated positively by Bernie Sanders, negatively by Donald Trump. Ideally, he wants to run for the U.S. House, but I've also considered a run for mayor locally or in the state legislature. And then also Nathan in DeKalb wrote in to say, I hope to run for state rep, state senate. It's clear that sitting on the sidelines or even on the streets isn't enough. Change comes from legislators who want real change. Eva, I think I'm going to put the last question to you. Running, you know, when you start talking about running for the state house, maybe as opposed to local office, you start getting into real money. And real money can also mean real negative advertising. And how do you teach people to train themselves sort of psychologically to run for office? And again, we have a very short amount of time, maybe 30 seconds to a minute or so.
Well, we try and be realistic with them with what their expectations are and trying to make them realize that negative campaigning is possible. Raising a lot of money might be required. But if you put a good campaign plan together in writing and you can plan for all that stuff, it makes it a little less daunting and more of the ability to overcome those things.
Okay, and we're going to have to leave it there. Eva Pusateri is the president of the Lincoln Series, which helps prepare Republican women to run for office. We've also been speaking with Matt Dietrich, spokesman for the Illinois State Board of Elections, and U of I alum Andy Ma, who is running for mayor of Urbana as a first-time candidate. Eva, Andy, Matt, thank you all so much for being with us today on this interesting topic.
Thank you, Brian.
And that is all the time we have. Before we go, I want to make one more pitch for our texting group. You can join by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. That's TALK to 217-803-0730. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.